delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hi, Alva.
Hey, Shita. Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And thank you so much for joining me for a Soul Brew on Soul Brews with Shiva. I'm delighted to have you on Coffee and Soul. And thank you very much for making the time, Alva.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. So this is lovely. Nice to be able to kind of have a cuppa with you and have a nice conversation. So looking forward to it, Shiva.
Wonderful. Likewise. And I've been excited about this, and I'm glad we're finally doing it. So do you have your cup of coffee ready with you?
I have my cup of herbal tea.
Ah, so your herbal tea. Lovely.
And I'm a no caffeine person. So
okay. Herbal tea is just wonderful as well. So here's to life, Alva, and to you. Good health.
Here's to life, and to you too, Shiva. Yeah, lovely.
Cheers. Alva, I'm going to ask you to hold this cup and nestle it between your palms. Mm-hmm. And if you can just sit back and relax.
Yeah, what comes to mind is just thinking of my childhood. I used to go down to where my mother was from. She grew up on a farm, and I loved going there. I'd go for a month, and what came into my mind was running up the yard in the evening time and the cool of the evening in my bare feet. I used to love running up. I know this sounds crazy, but I used to love running up and running through the the feeling of it between my toes and the freedom and just running up through where the dairy was and up into the field and the hay barn, and yeah, just that complete and utter freedom. Interesting, my word for the year is freedom. So
that is amazing. And as you're saying this, I can see the little girl just mm-hmm. flying through this and going into the apart from freedom, what does this mean for you, this image? What else does it tell you about?
I think it's just incredible. I my connection when I was younger to being out in nature and being part of nature. I mean, when I used to go down there, we had a relationship with a mother cow and a daughter cow, and there was always kittens and animals, and I think particularly during COVID, and not only for myself, but I know for others, just this incredibly kind of almost reconnection with nature. You know, not that I wasn't before, but just that huge kind of sense of the value and importance of us really respecting nature and being connected to nature and knowing that we're just visitors, really. I mean, you know, but the learning that comes from nature as well. So that's been really significant in the last year, and because it's the first time in 25 years that I haven't had to get in a car and drive for work. I haven't had to travel for work, and to be able to get out and walk every day. And where I live, looking at my window here, is just kind of rolling hills and kind of rural countryside in Ireland. And like yesterday was a beautiful day here. It was just like blue skies and sunshine. Not that it's been like that a lot lately, but I'm near a very big river. So, you know, I walk through a wood and down by the river and back up, and it's just that real appreciation of nature and connection with nature.
Yeah. It sounds idyllic, really. Mm. And obviously, and it's not just in the words that you're saying, but in the tone that you are using right now, is the peace and the sense of nature that comes out. And obviously this is something that means a lot to you.
It does. And out with my dog. And so and that's what's been really the gift. I mean, it has been the gift of COVID. I mean, there's been lots of challenges as well, but that has been a significant gift. It's bringing back the importance of the simple things in life. Mm. And simplicity is where I think it's what we've moved so far away from with the world and how it's become so material and so fast-paced. I mean, not that it's not still fast-paced now, but I don't know, it's brought greater focus in and kind of magnified for me and for others what's really important, you know, and one of those things is nature.
Yeah. And when you talk about simple things, what are the simple things that are simple for you? One of them, as you said, was nature. What else, Selva?
I love cooking and having food, sharing food with friends. Sometimes that's so simple and yet it's so significantly important. I love reading. I just finished a book yesterday, which is a beautiful book, called Away with the Penguins. Lovely. Just a really beautiful story. And actually, again, it's interesting because it was all about the learning from nature. So for the woman in the story, going to Antarctica and her learning from the penguins and how important, you know, she realized being part of a tribe and part of a community, how important that was. And she hadn't had that. Wow. And that importance also of her being in with kind of these penguins who were babies and playing, and the play and the fun and the, you know, I was with a neighbor yesterday and she's two little pups and the joy, I was just like laughing with them, you know, they were just jumping around and, you know, cuddling in and having a little snooze on my lap. And so, yeah, and it kind of, the book kind of brought into focus again my own kind of learning from working training groups of people, and how much I've learned in the last number of years, how disconnected people are, and how, you know, how much they don't feel like they belong. And it would have been a theme from my own life growing up, but with different things that had happened that I didn't quite know where I belonged. I lived in the UK. I came back to Ireland, and all these groups that I train, each of them, through the space that's created, that they get this sense of being a tribe and being connected together, and it's just wonderful to see, and then supporting each other as a tribe. So it's like, you know, I set them all up in WhatsApp groups, and years on, they're still connecting in with each other. And you know, somebody has a challenge, they're into texting the group, you know, have this happening today, can you all send me positive energy, and everybody's back straight away. And it's lovely, you know. And I think it connects into, because life has become so complex and so busy, that simplicity is lost, but also that connection is lost. Sense of belonging, sense of being part of something. So that book yesterday was another reminder of how important that connection is for all of us, and that sense of belonging is for all of us.
It sounds wonderful, and I'm definitely going to try and get my hands on it and read it. Alba, you know, just reflecting with you on your life, and I'd love to get a sense of, you know, I know that you're a very accomplished coach and coach of the year this year 2020, I think.
No, I was coach of the year for Ireland, that is, in 2016. And then this year I was supervisor. Well, actually, I'm going to say this year, it was actually the end of 2020. Supervisor of the year. And I also won with another coach who we both co-founded, Connected Coach, which was to provide free coaching for frontline staff during COVID. So we won the President's Award for Social Enterprise for that as well at the end of 2020.
And so much that you did, and obviously responded to the moment when you started Connect to Coach, and that's amazing to be able to do that. But it'd be great to understand your journey right up to where you are today, your highs, your lows, some of your, you know, defining moments, you know. And and I'm not saying that we need to get into the detail, but I'm just saying, you know, some of the high points, if you could share, it'd be lovely to hear.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, and I, literally as of last week, it's been in my head for quite some time to write, and not it's not I'm not writing a coaching book, but to write a book, which I've had the title in my head for quite some time, which is The Human Condition. Both from my own experience and from all of the different people that I've worked with over the years. And that last week, through a group I was in, what came out was that to write it was an act of compassion, so that I need to write it. And then what came up was, which somebody shared, was about the God of Compassion and the God of Compassion having lots of hands, and that I have many hands to write this book now. So I'm going to have to do it sooner or later. But yeah, it's...
That's a very powerful symbol.
Yeah, and it was like, I was thinking, oh, can I write? And it's like, oh, you've got all these hands that you can write with. It's been quite a journey through life. I'm the fifth child of seven, but the middle, kind of just off the middle girl. There was the oldest was a girl. I was just off the middle, and then the youngest is a girl, with four kind of brothers around me. And I suppose the most significant thing that happened in my life was my father died of a very sudden heart attack on the night of my 11th birthday. Mm. And my mother was left with seven children between 21 and 3. And unfortunately, she didn't cope very well and became an alcoholic. And so it was a very challenging kind of childhood after that. And being the middle girl, I kind of ended up when I was 12, my elder brother gave me a cookery book and said, best of luck in your new role in life. It was somehow decided I, as the middle girl, would take over the kind of caring role. There were lots of ups and downs, a lot of challenges, a lot of learning. By the time I left home, there was still a lot of challenges going on. But when I turned, I'd always wanted to travel. I actually went to college wanting to be an anthropologist. Yeah. And when I left Ireland and went to London, I worked as a croupier in the Hilton Casino in Park Lane in London, because there were no jobs at that stage in Ireland. And I wanted to save the money to travel. You know, it was at that point that I kind of realized that, you know, I could carry a lot of, I suppose, hurt or anger and sadness as well, that my life had been so challenging. But I realized when I reflected that it had given me masses of strength. So even though I had lost things, I had gained as well. And I suppose, you know, as I think of Shirzad Shamin and his positive intelligence program, it's like, you know, using that wiser part of the brain is like, well, what are the gifts and opportunities in the challenges that we've had? And, you know, at that age of 24, I was able to see the gifts I'd got, which was an incredible connection of seeing the humanity in people and seeing people's pain and equally incredible strength and resilience. And determination as well. I saved enough money to travel on an army truck with a group of people through parts of Africa, Asia, and the Far East. And that was one of the most profound experiences of my life. Talking about where I started, that was where, oh my God, the freedom was incredible. Because, you know, I didn't have to worry about paying bills. I didn't have to worry about working. I didn't have to worry about what I looked like. I didn't have to worry if I didn't wash. We would get an opportunity to wash, but there was no masks. It was, you could just be completely and utter yourself, and people were incredibly welcoming and warm. And this was like traveling through parts of Africa and the Middle East and Far East that, you know, nobody was going. It was in the middle of nowhere. It was, you know, so that was an incredible experience. Came back from that to Ireland then, and was in Ireland for a couple of years, ended up getting my first kind of serious job. Mm-hmm. I became a medical sales rep and left that and sort of started working a few, I don't remember at the Live Aid concert.
Yes, of course.
So I was in Sudan during the time that Live Aid happened.
Really? All right. Yeah.
And we didn't, and there, even in Sudan at that stage, there was very little water. So it was quite challenging. Mm-hmm. But when I came back and after I left my sales job, I worked for a charity that had been set up that Bob Geldof had come back to Ireland. There was really high unemployment at that stage. Mm-hmm. And he had done a concert called Self-Aid. Mm. And it was to raise money to help people set up a business. Mm. And so I started to work for that charity and traveled the country connecting people with people who'd offered support. And it was while I was in that job. Then I had met my husband when I'd gone for a visit to London. And so then I left Ireland again and I went to London. And and, you know, have had various jobs from setting up, I manage an enterprise development for young people who were disadvantaged and training unemployed people, and then got into management and training, leadership training when I came back to Ireland, and went on then to be a third level lecturer in personal development and group dynamics, and kind of over 10 years ago went out on my own. So as I say to people, I had the portfolio career before it became fashionable, because I've done so many different things. And along the way, you know, lots of challenges of moving and living in different places, and, you know, having two boys and, you know, being a mum who was working and trying to juggle and balance and go through, you know, those challenges that as women, I think when we work and have children, of feeling, am I doing enough? Am I being a good enough mother? And sometimes the guilt of being away from home. And but all of those things have brought a great understanding of the sort of challenges that people go through, the changes that people have to go through, the flexibility we have to have. Mm-hmm. And I think probably the key and most important thing is compassion, mm-hmm. is that compassion for myself, compassion for others. I think that an awful lot of the work that I do with so many of the people I train, particularly because I have been training people for a UK company called Coaching Development. I've been training them on an ICF accredited program for the last 11 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that program is really about enabling people to make a journey home to themselves. Mm-hmm. To come to a place of loving themselves and being kinder to themselves and understanding themselves and accepting themselves as they are, which for me, I feel I just feel blessed every day. I get up, whether it's with those groups or clients I work with, that I get to do the work I do. I feel very privileged and very honored.
Yeah, and obviously this is something that is so, you're living the life that you probably envisage for yourself, and it's so enriched your life, and so when you share that what all you have done, what you've been through, and all the things that you've, and where you are today, with all of this kind of amalgamated into what you bring to people that you work with, I think that is really beautiful and powerful. So it's wonderful to hear, Alva. You spoke about freedom, that's the word of this, so of this year for you. What's talk to me a little more about that.
Well, I think it's I had a significant birthday in December, and I think that was also part of it, because there is that kind of, you know, when you get to that point in your life and you think, oh my God, I've got less to live than I've lived, which is kind of scary. Just something about, you know, for so many of us, that we have from when we're younger, you know, we develop a particular story about ourselves. You know, very much the story I had growing up was a little bit like I was Cinderella in the kitchen, in the back kitchen, you know, doing all the cooking and cleaning, but everybody had forgotten about me. And you know, over the last kind of 15 years, really kind of that kind of realization of, you know, I didn't have to wait you know, why was I waiting for Prince Charming to come along? I mean, I had the golden slippers, you know. but you know, for me growing up, it was almost like I was given shoes too big for me. So it's at this stage of life, it's a wonderful feeling of liberation, because I know who I am. I accept myself as I am. I'm you know, so much more loving of myself than I would have been when I was younger. There's a liberation of being able to, and a freedom of just being true and authentic and honest and being vulnerable. And I think that has been my biggest learning, because it's like what I said at the beginning, to survive, I had developed this incredible strength and resilience. But in that, it wasn't safe or okay to be vulnerable. You know, that just wasn't a possibility. And, you know, I think as Brené Brown would say, you know, our strength is our vulnerability. And to find my way and my life journey to that understanding and that acceptance, there's a liberation in that. And there's something about when you get older, it's okay. It's okay to, if I feel like, you know, if I feel the tears come and I want to cry, I will. Or if I need to ask for help, that's okay too. It's not a weakness. It's not, which I think for, and I know for an awful lot of people I work with and I train, that's where so many of us come from, that it's not okay to ask for help. It's not okay, because we think we'll be weak, we'll be seen as weak, or we'll be seen as incompetent. And there's something lovely to let go of all of that conditioning, all of that stuff that we carry. And I think that's where I said a lot of it is, I do believe, in a funny kind of way, as we get older, we almost return to what I would call our first act. You know, so it's like our first act is when we're younger, and then our second act is all of this striving and achieving. And then it's like our third act is almost a return to our first act. So it's, you know, it's a kind of watch out, I'll be finding fields to run up through the cow path soon, you know. So it's kind of, it's that return to our innocence, our essence, you know, who really deep down we really are, that we somehow felt we had to not be, or that wasn't okay to be, or wasn't safe to be as well. And to return to that, there is a freedom and a liberation. Not worrying what people think. It's not to say it's not worrying, you know, not being concerned about being caring and kind and loving to others, but that this is who I am, you know, you can take me or leave me. I'm okay with that. Exactly. And there is a freedom in that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And when you say that, the third act is equal to the first act, I think it's so profound, Alva. Mm-hmm. So profound to be in that space and to experience it.
So I'm looking forward to more of that third act as the years go on, and hopefully it will go on for some time, and you know, that I will stay in good health as well, and kind of mind and body. I think this is where unfortunately, again, I mean, within our society, that you know, kind of as people get older, almost, you know, we're seen as that we have not, maybe we don't have anything to offer, and yet we have the greatest gifts to offer.
Absolutely.
I heard a story the other day of it's actually my ex-brother-in-law who'd gone to, he's 71 and he went to train, he's an ophthalmologist, and he went to get training to give the COVID vaccine, and they came back and he said, no, you can't, you're 71. So he was okay to practice till he was 70, but suddenly now he's 71, that's it.
That's absurd.
This is crazy. And I think that's one of the kind of losses in modern society here, is that, you know, the kind of element of ageism is that you get to a certain age and yet you've got the greatest gifts to us.
Absolutely. As the elder of the society, I mean, there is so much. And this ageism, as you talk about, is playing out quite a bit, isn't it? And it's a tough one to combat. But I think more people, as you say, Alva, more people start realizing and start living to what you just spoke about, the more it will kind of reinvent itself and come back, because you can't not. I like to call it as the elders of the tribe, you know, as you were saying, what they bring, it's incomparable. So
And saying that, at the same time, I know that one of my kind of biggest challenges in my current life is that when you've grown through and gained so much in life, in ways you can never give to your children that wisdom in the way you'd like to, because you know our children sometimes don't want to listen to their parents. So it's and yet I trust, you know, they'll mature and they'll want to hear it and they'll want to take it on board. But when you're in your 20s, you think your parents, like, what do they know?
Exactly.
And then at the same time, I know that we all have to travel our own journey. And I personally believe that we're all here to learn different lessons and here to travel, you know, that individual journey. So unfortunately, one of the, I suppose, the learnings I've had to have is that I have to step back and I have to let my children do it their own way and go through their own fires and, you know, get burnt, even though you don't want your kids to get burnt. But that's where the growth happens. The journey never ends for me either. So the learning just doesn't end, it just goes on and on.
Would that be like a message you would give out to young parents or parents who are struggling with their kids? Or is that something that you would say to them? How what you just said?
My two boys have had a lot of challenges, and you know, my natural inclination as a mother has been to rescue, you know, to make things better. I mean, you can do that when they're smaller and pick them up and, you know, cuddle them and make them feel okay. But when they're adults, it's I most definitely, my journey over the last number of years has had to accept I don't have control, and that I have to let them travel their journey, and that all I can do and all I continually do is to love them and to let them know that love is there, as much as is possible, that unconditional love is there, and that no matter what, I'm firm and steadfast and I will be there regardless. We cannot control it all. Yeah. And there is a bigger plan. I don't have any control over that plan. And I think in it as well, as parents, for me, it has been learning all the time. You know, along that journey, I trained, you know, as a therapist and an integrative arts therapist. And primarily I did it because I needed to do work on myself to sort stuff out from my home life. But I'll never forget, you know, one of the things was that we can only ever be a good enough parent. You know, we can never be perfect. It's knowing I did a good enough job. It's, you know, I'm human too as a parent. Nobody, you know, as people say, they give you have to get a license to have a dog, but you know, to be a parent is just like, you know, you have to find your way through it. And
you don't get a manual.
No, you don't get any manual. Talking with my elder son recently, you know, he said, I know, ma'am, you did your best. Nobody told you how to do it, you know. So again, it's having that compassion for ourselves. And whether it is more something that I think as women, as mothers, because of that maternal instinct, because we have brought the life into the world, that we beat ourselves up more, because my experience in working with so many women as a coach is that we carry greater guilt and we give ourselves a harder time, particularly with when we're working and bringing our kids up. And I guess my message is, you know, we're pretty amazing Yeah, I think women are amazing. And it is that, you know, we've done our best, and, you know, we give all the love we can to our children, and, you know, they have got to travel their own path.
Yeah, and it's okay for us to love ourselves. Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
I think it's
that we're talking about this, and this is coming out today on International Women's Day as well, Alba. So, you know. Although on my part, I believe every day is Women's Day. But it's interesting that we should be bringing, you know, this should be a conversation for between us two. Is there an adage?
What was coming into my head thinking about that was a piece from Cathal Gibran around his poetry around children, how, you know, they're really only on loan, you know what I mean? You're going to have them for a little while on loan and that's it. So
exactly.
I've always, you know, that's always been something in my head that I keep coming back to, you know. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So you were going to ask me something, Shiva.
I was going to ask you, and that is powerful because Khalil Gibran, when he talks about the children, that entire passage is beautiful. So thank you for bringing that up again. All this time that you have spent in living in life and experiencing and caring for others and caring for yourself, is there an adage you live by? Is there like a metaphor for life that you have, or could be many, but is there something that's a fallback for you?
Yeah, I think, it probably is this too shall pass.
This too shall pass. Yes, we got that in the group. It's a beautiful, powerful parable.
Yeah. And I think particularly, you know, at different stages where I've gone through challenges and particularly over the last number of years, it is, that this too shall pass. Nothing stays the same. Everything changes, you know. And that, you know, my mother years and years ago, and it's from Shakespeare, but nothing is either good nor bad, only thinking makes it though.
Absolutely.
So it is that kind of, we don't know what will come from things. They may seem, or we might think they're bad, but actually good comes from them. Or, you know, we might think something is going to be good, but maybe something else comes from it. But it's just trust in the process of life. It's taking us on the journey we are meant to go on, and it will bring the opportunities for us to grow and learn. But but this too shall pass. So enjoy, like yesterday, it was beautiful, and I had this beautiful walk. Ended up sitting outside. Thankfully, it was beautiful enough to be able to sit outside in COVID that I could sit out with friends, and we are having a glass of wine, and the sun was shining. And I was like, this, just enjoy this, be in this moment, because this will pass. And it's like when the tough times come, it's like, you know, this too will pass, because everything keeps changing. And for me, that in recent years has been very much, very much the what I come back to. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And having seen life the way you have, you know, looked at life from both sides now, if you look at it from that perspective. is there anything you feel you could have done differently, Alba? And I don't mean it in the sense of regrets. I know I'm just...
No.
Let's practice some blameless discernment.
Yeah. I think probably the only thing that I would have as different is that I would have played more and had more fun and not have... You know, I think partly because of that childhood, I became highly responsible at a very young age. I mean, you know, very much... kind of brought up my two younger siblings who were 3 and 6, because my other siblings kind of left home quite quickly. So I became very responsible and you know, that kind of, I suppose, transferred into my marriage where I became the main provider. And so, I think that would be, it's like, because I'm going to have my third act, so I'm going to do lots of things.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that I don't already, because I'm the best person to have at a party. I'm, you know, up singing and dancing. And to have more freedom. It was interesting. So there's that word again. So more freedom. To play. And and I would have, if life had been different, I would have loved to have been a dancer.
Really? Oh, that is so beautiful, Alva.
Yeah, so that's what I would have. I was very, very sporty, gymnastics, and was involved in that before my dad passed. But then when that happened, it was like everything kind of ended. And I had only started learning the piano and really wanted to do that. And it's only in the last year, this keyboard is behind me because it sat there for years that I wanted to learn the piano. So, I would have loved to have done drama. And so these are some of the things that, you know, I can still and I will do. But if I was to have done anything different, it would have been to have more time for play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it is. And that's why they call it the third act, I guess, because it's, as you said, it's the time for... You have your piano, your keyboard behind you, and I am very tempted.
Oh, no, I don't ask. I can't play anything. No, because I got it a year ago, and then when COVID kicked in, all practice stopped because I had to transfer all my programs online. And then with Connect a Coach, I literally was working like incredibly long hours and long days. And like nature was about the only thing, was getting out and having that, but everything else kind of went to standstill. And actually it's only not yesterday, but the previous Sunday was the first day I got back on it to practice. Wow. And I had to, I have an app on my phone where I was learning how to play, and I had to kind of go back to the beginning because I was like, I can't remember any of it because I hadn't done anything since last March. So it would have been the end of March into April when COVID kind of kicked in. So yeah, so my intent is to get back there. So come back to me in a year's time and then I'll be able to.
When we do the second session with you, definitely.
Yeah, because my intention was for my significant birthday, I was going to be able to play a simple classical piece on the piano. But that has not happened.
It'll happen soon enough, I'm sure, Alva.
Yeah.
So before we I ask you a few more questions and we come to the close, I would really like for you to tell us a little more about Connect a Coach, the seeds, how it began, where it is today.
Yeah, well, our Taoiseach at the time, essentially like our Prime Minister, he put out a call to Ireland after St. Patrick's Day last year, when, you know, the realization kicked in of where we were all at. And it was like, who can help? Whoever out there can help. And another colleague, Karen Hayes, you know, she'd been thinking about it, had been in my head, and I thought, oh, I don't know how we do it. But actually she rang and she said, look, could we do this? And she had come up with the name, and she had the technological kind of background and I had the connections. And literally, I sometimes wonder how we did it now, because literally in the space of a week, we got somebody to design the website, do the branding. I reached out and had hundreds of coaches come back to me, reached out to supervisors, we set up contracts, and literally in the space of a week, we went live. I still don't know how we did it.
You know, this brings me to a thought. This Mahatma Gandhi, you know, Gandhi, and he, one of the things, when he started his movements and the freedom movement, and he said, somebody asked him, how can you manage this? And, you know, with few, so he said that, you know, it's amazing when you are fighting for a just cause, people just seem to pop up from the pavement and just start contributing to what you're out to do. Does that kind of resonate, Alva, with something like what have you happened with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It was almost like, you know, everything just aligned with ease. Everything just happened with ease, and it just all came together. And it was quite incredible. And the coaching community, you know, the desire to support, to help, so, to give back was incredible. And then what was really interesting kind of through it was that, you know, when I think about it as well, going back and when we had training for the coaches and psychological first aid, supervisors were set up, because I was very clear that the coaches needed to be supported, that we needed to create the structure for how we were doing it that would make sure that that you know, in the Connected Coach system, what happened, you know, it was incredibly, when you have a, when everybody wants to serve and you've got a very clear purpose, how everything just aligns and comes together. And what was really interesting was that for a lot of the coaches, they had lost their businesses. I mean, most people, everything had just stopped. And through Connect to Coach, it wasn't only that the frontline staff were supported, but actually the coaches started to feel part of a community, which goes back to what I said, and we were talking about earlier, which is how important it was that they felt like they were part of this again, this kind of tribe. And because each of them were in small supervision groups, each of those supervision groups was like a support network for the coaches. And so they felt incredibly supported during COVID when their businesses had gone. And it was just, again, another reminder of how much and how important it is for us to feel connected and to be part of something and to be serving. Yeah, there was something that was really significant about people feeling that they were serving. And all of the coaches have stayed on board, and we've continued. So they rotate every 8 weeks on the site, and the service is still being offered. And we'll continue to offer it now up until till June, and then potentially then we will stop then at that point, I would imagine.
Yes. What a brilliant thing to have done, and the fact that it must have been so needed and so responsive to the situation, and probably just, you know, something, you know, just connecting so beautifully into what was needed. And that is amazing that, you know, you helped birth that, Alva.
It was wonderful to be able to serve in some way, to offer out. But the interesting thing, again, it goes back to what we spoke about earlier, is that when people are going through a time of crisis and challenge, and this would, I would relate to this in my own experience, that it's very difficult to reach out for help. Because the fear is that if I let a crack open, then I might fall apart and I won't be able to survive this. And so we've kind of witnessed that during the really, really heavy crisis time with COVID and each of the kind of waves that have come. It's not during the most challenging time that people reach out. It's only post the challenge. And I think that the reality is that as we move out of COVID in the next, whether it's going to be 6, 9 months, a year, I think then we're going to see the kind of fallout and the impact that it has had on people, and the space that they will need to be able to process, because they haven't been able to give themselves permission, because it didn't feel, it hasn't felt safe enough, particularly those who've been in very, very challenging situations, to ask for that help, because the fear is, I won't be able to carry on.
It's there are just so many levels to this, right? Whatever we've been through, and we're just beginning to unpackage them. After the most obvious, it's the ones that are, and that's it's amazing what you're referring to. Alva, I believe every human being has a very unique gift to offer mankind, humankind as such. What is yours?
I think it's, I say to people, it's love. Yeah. That's, you know, I think my purpose in life has been about love. And I do believe that is the essential thing in life, is that we can stay in a place of love of ourselves and of others. And if we can be in that place and less in a place of fear, then the world would be such a happier, peaceful place for everybody. And we have to just keep coming back to that.
That is so beautiful that you are about love. And thank you so much for sharing that with us and letting us into that and letting us feel that, me and the people who will be watching and viewing this. Is there anything else you'd like to say before you?
No, just thank you so much for having me on, and I had no idea where this was going to go, what we're going to be spoken about. So it's been a privilege to share with you and to talk with you, and thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and it's my privilege, Alva, because to be able to talk about things that are actually sacred in spaces together across the world, I think these are some of the boons and the benefits of the times that we have just been through. And thank you for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva, and for being so open in what you have shared. And I wish you every success in your third act as you journey on. and all the very best. Thank you so much for this conversation, Alva.
Thank you. And hopefully if we reconnect next year, I'll be able to play that piece on the piano.
I look forward to that. And we get to see some dancing as well. Maybe you all join in as well.
Yeah, right? Some dancing, some singing, some playing on the piano, and potentially some writing that has been done as well.
It sounds like we'll be celebrating, and I look forward to that.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, Shiva. Take care. Have a lovely day the rest of the day for you. Okay, thank you.
Take care, Alva. Thank you for your time and attention, and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.